Welcome, beloved, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to be established in the Word of God. I want to thank you to our service today and get ready to be blessed even as we were blessed. Your life will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
I want to say thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for all the great things you are doing for us. Our money cannot pay, our wisdom cannot pay back. And so this morning, from the deepest part of our heart, we want to appreciate you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus and let's take our seats. Oh, if you are doing it for Jesus, let's do it better. Please, if you are doing it for Jesus, you can do it better. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for how far his brothers. We are having a little technical problem with our screen. But I believe you came with your Bibles. Let me see your Bibles. Let me see. Soft copy, hard copy, it's okay. Let me see your Bible. Lift up your Bible.
I mentioned your Bible, no.
Say, this is my Bible. Oh, say, this is my Bible.
Hey,
I can't see your Bible. Hey, it is not a sign of maturity at all to come to church without a Bible, whether soft copy, whether hard copy. A lot of you have got Zuma on your phones. You know Zuma. You've got Zuma, you've got car race, you've got a lot of games, but you don't have Bible on your phone. You must get a hard copy Bible and get a soft copy Bible. At the point, I had close to 15 hard copy Bibles. I dashed most of them. So let me see your Bibles now. Lift it up. Whether it's your phone. Don't be afraid. This is a symbol of your faith. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. This morning, I will be taught the Word. It will be a blessing to me. And I will not be just a hearer of the Word, but the doer of it as well. So help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. This morning, quickly, I want to share with you the Word of God. And I am speaking on the topic, how God intends to bless you. How God intends to bless you. You must know that God has an intention of blessing you. You must know that God has a plan to bless you. But how is he going to fulfill that thing? Or how is he going to bring to pass his plans for your life? It looks like the base on my microphone is too, and I'm still not getting the clarity. Amen. How is God going to bless us? How is he going to effect his blessings in our lives? Oh, is somebody here with me?
We come home.
How? And we can easily come across one of the ways in the book of Exodus chapter 23, verse number 25.
Exodus chapter 23.
The verse number 25.
Verse 25.
The Bible says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sicknesses away from the midst of thee. And thou shalt serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and he will take sicknesses out of your life. One of the greatest blessings every human being can get on earth
is when God decides to bless your food. Bless what quenches away your thirst. And takes away what brings you hunger. And lastly, he takes away what can shorten your life. And the Bible is saying, God has a plan of blessing your food.
I
don't know if you want to eat, you don't bless the food. You don't pray over the food. But I'm telling you, if only you had known what was even used in preparing the food you are going to eat. If only you are wise enough to know what the food vendor did before coming to prepare the food. One day a friend of mine told me, I will never buy anything from outside which is edible. I will never buy. I said, why? I said, who's going to buy wache? And all of a sudden the woman did like this.
I don't know what I'm having here, say.
Oh. He said, I was stunned. I was perplexed. I didn't even know what to say. He said, before then, I've told her, give me 3 CDs. And so she has put the 3 CDs in a pack. And when she put her hand there and brought it out. No, I didn't know whether I should buy macaroni or I should buy garri or... So he said, I just stood and watched her. And the woman said, Brad, and he said, the mistake that I made was to tell her, give me macaroni. Then she used her hand. Just took the macaroni, put it on the watch. And he said, what else? And I said, Gary. Then she went to fetch Gary into a bowl, poured water, and sprinkled the water in the Gary, and she mixed it. Poured oil, mixed it. Then the woman said, what else? And the guy said, Nina. He said, I won't turn them. How much? You know. And the woman called her. He said, I paid and I didn't take the food. I just left. And he said, since that time, I have decided never to buy anything edible from outside. But you see, what you and I don't know is that it is God who is actually blessing our bread. It is God who is actually sanctifying the things we eat. People are eating pure organic and they are dying. You are eating pure fertilizer and you are alive.
Fertilizer now is what
and the Bible says God doesn't just bless his bread. And he doesn't bless water. When the Bible says God will bless your water, don't even think of only the physical water we see. When the Bible says God is going to bless our water, it means that God is going to quench your thirst. Anything that has left you thirsty. The Bible says God is going to quench it. Yes. And so when a person is blessed, number one, their food is blessed. There is always enough to eat and to spare. They don't worry about what to eat and what to wear. They are always fed. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd.
David said,
and so I shall not want. In other words, there will be no want in my life. I wouldn't be in need of anything. Let me ask you this morning. Who is the one providing for you? Who is the one providing and blessing what you have. But God says, I am the one who blesses bread, gives people satisfaction. That's what we, you see, food gives you satisfaction. Is that not it? When we read John chapter 4.
Okay, in kind, John chapter 4 now.
The verse number 34, Jesus said, my food.
Verse 34, Jesus said, Medriane.
Is to do the will of the one who sent me. So when we hear food, don't only think of the one you put in your mouth. Jesus said, my food.
Jesus said, Medriane.
Is to do the will of the one who sent me. And to finish it. So what gives me satisfaction? What gives me comfort is what Jesus was talking about. And God said, if only, see, there is only one criteria, only one thing to do to qualify for all these things. And the Bible said, if only you can serve me. If only you can serve me. Today, the house of God is filled with big men and big women. Big manism is what we see in the house. Everybody is big. Nobody is serving nobody. Everybody sees himself or herself as somebody.
They
say, you come to the house of God. Young ladies are no more serving. Young men are no longer serving. Yes, service is finished. That is why you don't get satisfaction in life. That is why your test is not being quenched. Some of you, as I'm talking to you, are here saying, how I wish. How I wish. How I wish. You have a lot of wishes. How I wish I'll marry. How I wish I'll buy a car. How I wish I'll live in my own house. How I wish I'll be free. How I wish I'll not go to people and beg for food. A lot of wishes. But God says, if only you can serve me, allow me to do the rest. I'll bless. I will bless. I see somebody receiving the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
As we decide to serve the Lord, what's the meaning of serve the Lord? Is it when somebody says serve the Lord? What's the meaning? And it's I was very shocked when I came across the definition of serve.
Maybe who
in the Apple's dictionary? And the first thing the Apple's dictionary mentioned was to work for.
Yes.
So to serve means to work for.
Yes.
So when God says that you shall serve the Lord your God, it means that you shall work for the Lord your God. A lot of us are not working for God. A lot of us, we are not working. What at all are you doing for God? When you say, God bless me, God will say, what are you doing for me? What at all have you done for me that deserves my blessing?
Ah, if I tell me sure.
One day there was a man. Listen to me, follow me. There was a man. The Bible says that he was a centurion. He was a leader or a captain of 100 soldiers. And the Bible says he was a captain of 100 soldiers. And the Bible says, this man went to Jesus and said to him, Master, my servant is dying. Please come and heal him. Please come and heal him. And the Bible says, the people around, the Christians around said to Jesus, this man deserves you going to his house. This man deserves a miracle. Because he built us our synagogue. The temple you are seeing, he built it. This man deserves your blessing. Because he built. What are you building for God? I told you we'll be having our harvest today. Because of that, many people didn't come to church. Oh, yes. You shocked. And this centurion was not a Christian?
Centurion, you not on your Christian.
He didn't know anything about God.
No,
people and they'll be healed. And so because of that, he wanted to have a feel. And the Bible says, this man came to Jesus. And he didn't know anything about God. He didn't know anything about prayer. He didn't know anything. He was a soldier. He was a captain. A Roman soldier. So he was vested. He knew the laws and the doctrines of the Romans. He didn't know anything about God and what have you. Then he came to Jesus. And the Bible says the men around told him, Master, he deserves that thing. Because he has served the Lord. Because he has worked for... See, building the house of God is doing the work of God. I'm telling you. Not many people give things to support the work of God. Not many people really have the heart for God. Not many. You'll be shocked. There are some rich men and rich women in this nation. They use their money to fight against churches. They hide journalists to write false whatever stories about men of God and ministries. Publish false publications to destroy the work of God. Probably you are in Ghana, so you might have heard of a man who sits over and said, this man of God, I'll make sure they close down his church. Hey. Yes, I'll make sure nobody enters his church. This man of God, this man of God. Yes. That's what men are becoming now. Now men have become anti-God. In our generation, anti-God. Show me a man who wants to work for God. And the whole world will tell you you are a fool. Today, no mother would want his daughter to marry a pastor. No father will allow his daughter to marry somebody who works in church. As a matter of fact, anybody who does something for God is not working. That is the wisdom of man. That's the wisdom of man. Are you serious? You called him who? Osofo. Man of God. And you are asking him, are you not working? Yes. That's our system.
Your system. No.
The Bible says all those who want to live righteously shall be persecuted. Pastor, where are they? Instruments. Yes. A mothers allow their children to go out for parties and parties. But you come to church and it's 10 minutes late, then they'll take a phone. I'm telling you. See a young lady goes to church on Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Wednesday, Friday,
and then
my baby.
I'm telling you. Yes. The system of the world has been programmed such that nobody cares for God, nobody loves God. Everybody is fighting for themselves. If it's not true, there wouldn't have been only these few fans over here by in your house. There's a fan in your toilet. There's a fan in your bedroom. There's a fan at your hall. Even your porch has a fan. Even under the bed, there's an air conditioner. I'm in jacket. By this, I shouldn't be sweating. But I'm sweating. Because there's no fan for pastor. So you want me to stay in the heat? Me too, I'll come down.
Yes.
And nobody cares about God. God, oh, he can wait. Oh, God, oh, put him on hold. That's what the service of God has become. Today, if you're a young man and you give your all to God, they say, hey, tell him, And mostly I hear people pass that comment. And those who say they are doing something with their life, they are doctors, they are engineers, they are accountants, and their work is for 40 years. That's accountants. When they want to even leave.
Lawyers, ni engineers.
Because you spend the first 30 years of your life schooling.
30 years, you know, they are going to school.
Then the remaining 40, you marry. You pay school fees. You pay rent.
What's your rent?
You give birth and you die. And that is a meaningful life. This is my guy. He's an accountant. So, wow. Charlie. Take it. Hey. This is my lady. She's a medical doctor at Kwalebu. Wow.
Oh, medical doctor at Kwalebu. Wow.
Oh, this is my guy. He's a pastor.
Oh, my guy. You're yourself. Hey, sir.
What? Then they ask, what came over you?
Then about so.
Yes. Nobody wants to serve God. Nobody wants to work for God. And I'm telling you that to serve God, when the Bible says, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, it means that you shall work for God. Are you working for God?
Are you working for God?
I didn't even know I would become a pastor. It was not part of my agenda at all. Just helping the work of God. I used to have friends who used to play instruments. Bring them to my church, my former church. Make them play instruments for the church. I'll tell them, I'll pay you. I will pay. Don't go to the church. I'll pay them. Sometimes I'll drive to their house, their various house, pick them from their houses, take them for Ria's house, bring them back home, feed them to church, bring them back, buy food for them, sponsor them, make them feel at home. We went for a convention at Kumasi. I paid their fare from here to Kumasi. I think it was 4 days or something. I told them way back. That was, I think, 2000 something. I told them I'll give each and every one of you 100 cedis. And that's at that time, 100 cedis was money. And the guy said, no problem. So one of them said, why can't the church pay? Why is it that you are the one spending your money on it? And then he asked me, what are you going to get from it?
So now
I said, you don't mention it. Then he was a trumpeter. He said, I don't like your money. I'll take it from the pastor.
Not about trumpet. I said, imagine yourself for need.
And that was the day, that was the convention that the pastor also humiliated me.
And convention now, so for no school many masses.
Seriously. We're, I think, 4 branches coming together.
Now your branches and 9 and a cambo.
So we all went there. But as at that time, the pastor said, oh, come and introduce your wife to me.
We said, he
called me, he said, are you crying? So which lady do you want to marry? I said, oh,
bring her.
So I took my wife now. Took her to the pastor. Then the pastor said, I want to talk to you one after the other. So he asked me to go out. So I was at the entrance of the room, waiting for confirmation. Then the lady went. When she went in, the pastor said, I didn't know you were such a foolish girl. And he said, I've lost the respect for you. No, you were a useless girl.
And
the lady said, daddy, can you choose Amos, this thing? This guy, what is wrong with you? How can you choose this thing as your husband? And he speaks trees. Wait, Jimmy, papa. Hey, me too. I didn't know anything. I was at the entrance waiting for my turn. So he gave it to her. So when I don't know what this when he finished, he said, oh yes, I should come. And when I was going, I look at my wife's face, she was like this. And I just said to myself, look at your face, leave there and let me go. And when I went in, he said, oh come, she called the lady, he said, come back. Then he shaked me, he said, shake me, you've done well. My pastor, you've done well. You've made the right choice.
Where you are, the pa?
Then he told me, kneel down and let me pray for you. So we knelt down. He laid his hands. He said, Lord! Thank you for the life of my children. I bless them. My wife was saying, What is happening?
Me you dey we funo.
So when we go, do you know what I told them? You, I don't like your face.
Yeah, for me, Kata said, "Why you penny, why that?
I didn't know what has happened.
I don't know who you are.
I started giving it to her.
Man, she said,
"Oh, the man blessed me. He said, "Oh, God has approved of my marriage. I did like this."
My partner, she said, "Nyame adi me. My marriage not to me. The money at."
Months later.
Bosu mi biyechi no.
My wife now told me what the man said.
Me read this. Yeah, no, I catch me. Yeah, Papa, no catch me.
So that is why he disgraced me when we went for the convention.
Because
I only became aware of this whole thing when we went for a convention at Kumasi. He was raising offer, I think 100 cities back then.
No, but for real.
100 cities.
100 cities. Oh, for
then I also went. I was even playing the keyboard.
I mean, I made a keyboard.
So I just went. And I stood there. He said, "Thank you, Lord." Jesus. Then he asked me, "Stand here." So I stood. Then he said,
"Okay, say."
And I when I went, my wife also came. But then
we
were not married, so. When she came,
Obaya
said, "Shoo, young lady."
I said, "What Obaya?"
Then as if she doesn't know her.
Oh yeah, no said the only one cry.
God said I should let you know.
Yakupon
said
me ma unu say.
That if you are arranging marriage with anybody, it's a wrong meet.
When you be she say warrior dia any.
Pastor. What have brought this lady to you? You said God has approved of it. Now what is God saying? Why has God changed his mind? Then he said, "Listen. I see a man driving to you." The man is driving. As at that time, I was also driving.
So
I did like this. He said, "The man has a one-door car." My car was also one-door, so I said,
"Ah."
Glory be to God in the highest. They said, but the one door has one tire at the back.
I said, one door has one tire back.
Because as for my car, I didn't have any tire at the back.
But I said, another tire be am much.
Not knowing he was saying it for his another friend pastor.
Say no, cancer say me am.
He had a colleague pastor who was interested. He was driving a car with a tire at the back.
Nnyo nkoso fubi ono so na nije mere ho.
Ono so de car. Listen.
Tie.
You know how they say. Tie. An Asante preacher. Then he said, God said, if she's dating anybody, go and break it up now. Then I think, but as at that time, my wife's mom was there.
He
said, come. So my wife's mother came. And he called my wife's father. We were all in the same
place. So
then he told them, I'm asking you a question. Answer me and go and sit down. If the man comes today, will you give your daughter to the man, to him? Then his father said, let him come. Then the pastor said, if you don't tell me the answer, you don't sit down. I'm telling you. And he left them. He went on. Hey! And he said, I need the answer now. And the man said, you, when the person comes, we'll see what.
The pastor
said, no. I need the answer now. And as at that time, that man too is on the stage. He's on the platform. He has crossed his leg. He was there. He was on the platform. His colleague pastor.
At the platform. So Adam for suffering.
So his father said, I'll do that.
He
said, okay. Now you are free to go. Go and sit down. So man went to sit down. And I was there. As at that time, I was in
it. I'm
telling you, all of a sudden, it looks like somebody has poured some cold water or
then
his associate pastor, he came, he held my hand like this. It's a false prophecy. Because he saw that I was shaking. I nearly fell down. All of a sudden, I felt like going to sit down.
Because
it looks like there is no strength in my leg to carry my body. That's what the man told me. So when he finished dealing with my wife and his family,
then
he came to me. He said, listen. The witches in your family have held a meeting. And they are saying, you must leave the church. And when you leave the church, you will not survive. I'm giving you 2 days, you will die.
You know what he just did?
He just inculcated into me the spirit of fear. And he has gripped me. We don't serve God in fear. When a pastor tells you I'm your personal prophet, when you leave me, you die. So what if he dies? What if that pastor dies? Don't allow anybody to put you under bondage. Romans 8. The verse number 14 and 15. The Bible says that as many as have been led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15 says that we have not received yet again the spirit of bondage.
15 they say,
don't allow anybody to put you under fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Somebody tells you something and you begin to feel afraid. That thing is not from God. Then he took my 100 cedis. And I went to sit down. When I went to sit down, my friends, the instrumentalists, they said we will not play the convention again. This pastor is a useless pastor. The bassist, he just threw the guitar away. I'm telling you. And the trumpeter, he just removed the mouth and he just left the trumpet. And they all left. During service, oh. And one, the guy, he's called Brian, the trumpeter. He said, I'm catching. That's what he told me. So I couldn't even sit because after that prophecy, I left the convention grounds. Then they took me to the hospital because I was sick. Remember, mommy, I'm sick. So they called the doctor very quick. And the doctor came. There's nothing wrong with you. So he gave me some paracetamol B and I came back. My morale was gone. Everything was gone. I felt I was doing everything possible to promote the work of God. But the leader was also maligning what I was doing. So that was what propelled the guy to say, I don't need your money. I am taking the money from the pastor. If he doesn't give it to me today, everybody will hear of us. And so I'm trying to let you know, I had a clean heart. I never thought evil. Even after that, when we came back to Accra, I went to the church. I did whatever I have to do. Then the pastor's closest friend, he told his wife, I don't like what pastor is doing to this young man. He's doing everything possible to support his ministry, but it looks like the pastor is doing something which... So his wife asked, what is the pastor doing? So it was his wife who rather got to know of the truth. The pastor is trying to give his friend, his colleague pastor, to the lady. So, let me cut the long story short. Anytime his lady meets me, he said, hey, it will be worry. What will be the sukabi bianangao? And I didn't even understand that proverb. Somebody will use your cutlass to bianangka. And she was making fun, not knowing this was what was happening. Now I'm telling you, listen, all those who serve God, God has a way of bringing them out of trouble, out of whatever the devil even plans against them. I never insulted this man. I never spoke ill about him until one day I heard a voice. He said, okay, now your assignment in that church is over, move on. I am the only person who left the church that the pastor never had any bad thing to say about me in his pulpit. The only person who left the church that made the entire church drive to my house. The pastor and his elders came to my house. The whole church came in 207. As at that time, 207 was the trotro. You all drove to my house to come and apologize and beg me to come back. But my assignment was over. Can you allow yourself to be cheated? Can you allow, somebody has vowed, hey, what this pastor did to me in that church, I will never attend any church again, me. Hey, what this pastor did to my lady. I promise, pastors.
It shouldn't
happen. Paul said we shouldn't withhold our hand from doing good.
Paul said,
anybody wants to live a righteous life, do good to people will fight
you.
You can't serve God without receiving opposition. It doesn't happen. People will fight you. People will insult you. When you think you are doing all you can to support the work of God, you receive insults. It is part of it. Is somebody with me? It is part of it. Never lose heart. Never lose heart. Don't be discouraged. You shall serve the Lord your God. You shall serve the Lord your God. Number one, he will give you satisfaction. Show me somebody who has genuinely decided to serve God. And I will show you somebody who will never lack some of these things the guys are chasing after. A house, a car, or probably cars, clothing, and money. Show me somebody who has decided to work for God. And I'm telling you, the person will no longer be in need. It doesn't mean at the embryonic stage or at the early stages you'll not be in need. But the Bible says the latter will be greater than the former. I want you to decide who you are going to work for. Some of you are working for your boss. Oh yes, you are working for your boss. But what you don't know is that the chair you went to sit on at your office, somebody was there before you came. If you were wise, you would have asked them who was here and where is she. The work you are killing yourself from when you fall sick. They will give you 3 months to recover. They will give you sick leave. For 6 months, if still you are not recovering, they will replace you, and it will look as if you were never part of the company. It will look as if you've never been part of the company. A guy was operating a machine for this company. One of the days, he accidentally, I don't know, but he slipped his hand into the machine and it ground his hand. And he became three-quarter. Yes. And he was being paid 700 cedis. And he lost his hand. When he lost his hand, he went to the hospital. They bandaged, they did everything. And the companies said that, well, looking at your current condition, we don't think we can work with you because we need somebody with two hands and what have you. So we'll give you a compensation of 5,000. Boss. You know, it's because of the work, that's why I lost my heart.
Okay, so, boss, who said you may eat a mushroom and say, you?
Me, I've removed my heart inside the other
day.
And I'm doing the thing for you. Why are you? So, what am I going to eat with my family? The man said, oh, it's well, maybe you can get another job because we need people with two hands. And the guy was laid off. When he met me, he said, Pastor, that I was talking to some, a group of young guys like, yourself about working for God. He said, Pastor, you are telling the truth though. He said, I sold my hand for
5,000.
I sold it for 5,000.
5,000 cedis.
Sold my hand. You are doing makeups. That's what you do. You are a beautician. Following your mother, even time that you must give to God, you are going to do makeups.
One day,
the glue you'll be using, it will splash into your eyes. Then you realize you can't open your eyes.
Nah, when they take
it was too late because I think the eye is fault.
Nah, okay, you know when you not say
you can't hurry. How many of you have watched this movie? I think Pirates of the Caribbean or something. The guy, he had one eye covered like this. Yes. I'm not saying you should quit your job. But I'm saying don't give attention and much time to what you do.
And
neglect the work of God. For your real satisfaction is in serving the Lord. What will give you the dream house you are looking for is serving God. Thou shalt serve the Lord, and He will bless. It is God who blesses us. It is God who does what? Who blesses. When God decides to bless you, my sister, you are done. It's like, you are done. You are done.
I'm
telling you. Why? Look at you. You've worked. Some of you have worked for 10 years now. Some of you have worked for over 6 years. Look at you. You are still the very same person you are. You are not even beautiful now. Now it looks like the wrinkles are increasing. And you see a young girl. And God said, remember your creator now.
And said,
oh, I'll remember my boss now.
So as we are here,
if your boss should pick a phone and say, hello, where are you? So I'm in church. Oh, come right now. I want to see you. You leave.
Wow, boss,
I know you. Oh, I know you. You go. You don't care about God. Anything that concerns God doesn't really bother you. All you care to know and to do is about working for the world. I need money. Some of you have worked and worked. How much did you get? Please, how much do you have in your account as at now? How much? Some of you don't even have account numbers. Even your momo, a guy called you and he deceived you and you sent the money. And there was a lady in this church, a guy called him, said, listen, where are you? He said, I'm in the house. He said, move out to a mobile money vendor and let me talk to you.
Oh, I was called mobile money vendor.
When he got there, he called the guy, he said, I'm there. The guy said, give the phone to the person. And he gave the phone to the person. A guy.
Bema.
And he told the guy, the girl is sending 1,000 cedis to me right now. And the guy said, where's the money? He said, oh, send it. She will pay. The money is with her.
He
said, which number? Then he mentioned the number. Okay. And the guy asked the lady, shall I send? The lady said, yes. So, 1,000. And he finished. He said, let me talk to the lady. He said, send another 1,000.
He
said, okay.
He
said, he wants to talk to you.
And
he told him, send another 1,000. You know, he sent 2,400. And the guy said, my money is finished. And he told the lady, go to another mobile money vendor. You are saying, hey, go to another mobile money vendor and let me talk to the person. What saved her was the guy. The guy said, if you don't give me my 2,400, I'll not let you. I need my money right now. The guy said, you give me the money, so give it to me. Then the lady said, what money? And he said, sure, you are joking. Give me my money. So that was what spared the lady. If not that day, she would have spent like close to
10,000.
Yes. Yes. You shall serve the Lord your God. If truly you are serving. If truly you are working for God. If truly God is really with you. No guy can use some spirit of dwarf to control your mind.
You
call me and say, hello, Master. Come over, man. Maybe that's a way. I'm telling you, a lot of you are void of the spirit, empty. Holy Spirit, negative 25. You are even owing 25 because He has protected you 25 times that you didn't even pay. Nothing. Nothing about you speaks about God. Your phone, shatawale. And your ringtone is putu. That's your ringtone, putu. Yes. No gospel. When I take your phone, let's do a roll call right now. The only gospel on your phone was the one somebody shared on that page.
Gospel that phone, so you did two page.
That one, cry. You didn't download it. Just auto download and it downloaded.
And no cry. Now one, I download it. You auto download now.
No Bible, young ladies, void of Bible.
Bible be any phone.
Of your Bible too is just the icon. You just know the icon. You don't even know what is in it.
Bible no so you name. Say Bible that so you name the woman.
Shall serve the Lord. You shall work for the Lord. You shall give yourself to the service of God. And the Bible said, when you do that, I will bless you. I'll bless you. You think you've been to school? Go and bring your certificate and let me bring my certificate. You think you're knowledgeable? Go for your transcript and let me bring my transcript. Some of you don't even know transcript. No wonder. Please, which school? We are serving God, though. We love God. We love God and we are serving God. You can bring your SSC certificate. Some of you, you are out of school, but you are owing your school, so you've not gone for your certificate. You are not even owing school fees or whatever. You are owing mathematics. So you are not out of school. Who are you in school? Go back and write maths and come and let's talk. And you are here. God is calling you. Come and work for me. Do this for me. And you think we must come and beg you. Please. God said. Today we don't have singers in the church. The singers are finished. Those who say they are singers, oh, it's better they are not even singing. If you say you are working for God, let me give you four things that means when you say somebody is working for God, what are the four things? Number one, it will take your energy. You are doing little for God when you say when what you are doing is not taking your energy. You must invest energy. Energy. Yes. If what you are doing for God is not taking your energy, you are not working, please. Chorister. Monday to Saturday. You only come here for 2 hours. Even when you are coming for rehearsal, you've not even rehearsed. You've not listened to the song they gave you. You've not done anything. You just director now said, okay, di-do-do. Whilst your friends are singing di-do-do, you are singing di-la-la, di-la-la, di-la-la. So you pull the work of God backwards. Yesterday we left here around 10:20 something, close to 11 p.m. Oh, you were sleeping. I knew you were sleeping. No, sorry, you were not sleeping. You were talking. You were on phone.
I know.
You were chatting. Came here, we did the painting, we did this, this is the first course we are just doing.
We are your first course.
We are working for God. We are serving God.
Yes, amen.
We are serving God.
Yes, amen.
Your life.
Bravo.
Rewind. Go back and check. Ask yourself. And ask yourself again. What at all in my life is taking my energy? Some of you is your guys who are draining your energy. When he calls you one word, just one word alone, it demoralizes you. Then your mother said, I don't know why you bought this. You don't want to say it. What is taking your time? That's the second thing. If what you say you are doing for God it doesn't demand or place a demand on your time. You are not doing anything for
God.
Yes. If what you are doing, if greater part of your time within the day is not contributing to the work of God, you are not serving Him. Some of you, your rebellion has grown wings. Your rebellion has now grown wings. abebeyin so so
ye fu ntaban.
Yes. And gradually you are flying. So then I look at you and say, God, what kind of, how do these people think? Bishop invited all of you. He sent you a personal message.
Bishop Tunsafre, you know.
Say, my children,
please,
I'm inviting you to a youth camp Friday, Saturday, yesterday and 2 days ago and that of yesterday, Friday, Saturday. So we'll not go. And you didn't come. I know you didn't come. Morgan, where were you on Friday?
Morgan, I was here.
In the house. Where did you go? Where? I'm not your boyfriend. Please open your mouth. You went to a chairman to do what? I don't say a full stop about her. Anything she will say after that is a lie. Because if you want to know somebody who is lying, look at how they respond. Where did you go, a chairman? What did you want to do in the post? They are thinking. Yes. Where were you, Ashiaman? If you had died on the motorway. No. Are you afraid of death? We work for God, so we are not afraid of what? Death. You see, you are working for your boss. That's why anytime I mention death, you are afraid. The people who die on the motorway, you are not better than them. If the car has somersaulted, who killed you?
I want to kill you.
Your rebellion has killed you. You don't even know why Bishop said you should meet him. And Bishop said we are starting at 8:30. Is it 8:30 or 9? And we'll close at 12. How many hours? If it's from 9 to 12, 3 hours. He didn't go. And you say you are serving God. And God is telling you that the people have put charge over you, obey them. All the people I gave you to lead you, obey them. When you read the Bible, you say, obey your parents in the Lord. You think they are talking about your mother and your father? Your parents and the Lord as your spiritual leaders. Your parents where? In the house. In the house. At your workplace. But you respect your boss more than you respect your pastor. You respect your boss more than you respect your pastor. But God said, obey your parents in the Lord. For it is not good, though. It is right. Understand the difference between good and right.
Say, Papa,
when we say something is good, we are talking of morality. When we say something is right, we are talking of legality. Not everything that is good is legal. But everything that is legal can be moral. Do you know that? In Ghana, let me ask you a question. In Ghana, when you sleep with somebody's wife, is there any law that can pin you down? And is there any law like that? Is there any law that when you sleep with them, they'll jail you, sentence you life imprisonment? So when you stay away from sleeping with somebody's wife, it's a good thing. Is that not it? It's a good thing. It's good. It's a good thing. But it's not right. Right has to do with law. When you kill somebody in Ghana, is there any law that can actually? Is there any law like that? And if you are not careful, you go life imprisonment. Because when you are convicted of murder, beyond all reasonable doubt, it is life imprisonment. Life. So you realize that here the issue of law is introduced. And as to whether something is right. You know, it's not right for you to take somebody's life. Then you realize that the next thing is punishment. So anytime you disobey your parents and the Lord, which the Bible said it is right, remember you are attracting punishment. Maybe you think I'm speaking my mind. Read Hebrews. Let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. Maybe you should read it from your Bible. I need three people to read it from their Bible. Hebrews 13, 17. Who is there? Quickly, my time is up. What is there? Obey those who do what? Who rule over you? Read it. You read it. The Bible says that obey those who rule over you and be submissive to them.
Yes, it came out
more mudi also. For they are those who are going to give an account over your life. Don't force them to do what they are doing with anger and with grief. But let them do it with joy. Why? That will not be to your profit. Another version. Have confidence in your leaders. And submit to their authority. Because they watch over your soul. And what you don't know is that your pastor is going to give an account over your life. So you obey them so that their work will be done with joy. And not a burden. Wait, so when it becomes a burden, what happens? It will not help you. It will not help you. When the Bible tells you something is not going to help you, you must know the Bible means what it's saying. Is somebody here? It's not going to help you. Listen, I was watching France 24. It's a 24-hour news agency.
So now I'm sure France 24.
And I think the leader or the chairman of the UN said,
UN chairman,
the whites are not treating the Africans very fair. They are not treating them fair. And one of the ladies asked them, why is it?
He
said, till date, some of the European countries are vaccinated. I think the percentage is 70%. They've had 70% vaccination.
European
and Africa is 1%.
Vaccination is 70% in Africa, yep.
Yes. The vaccinations which has come all across Africa, when you put it in percentage wise, it's 1%.
Vaccination about Africa ni now percentage.
Israel is taking their third jab. They call it jab, and they are taking their third injection. They vaccinated, they are taking their third one.
Israel for the vaccinated. They say almost say genius.
How many have you taken?
Yeah,
even the one you took, they said it's not correct. The one you took, they said it's deadly. The first one, the one you went to do like this. Oh my God, Africa.
Hey, yes. Fine.
The United Nations said no, there are certain toxins in the injection which was brought to Africa. You think they think about you? I remember when Tiger Woods fell. Tiger Woods, the popular golfer. When he fell, when he had the scandal came out and they started, he met another black man who grew up with him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what? You are not learning. You, when you became popular, you think the whites like you? They don't like you. You're a nigger like myself, man. You're a nigger. They don't like you. They like what you do. They like your gift. They don't like you. They don't like you. The way the man said the thing, I love. They don't like you. You think they like you? You think the whites like you? One day a man told me, let me end. A man told me that three people. One was an Asian. One was an
European.
Let me see, from America.
America.
One was a black man, an African man. They went to heaven. So when the American man got there, God asked him, so what were you doing all these years on earth?
They
said, well, I was trying to lead a nation and put almost everybody on the planet under me. He said, okay, wow, that's good. Stand here. And the Asian came. He said, what were you doing?
And
I was introducing technology and what have you. He said, okay, stand here. That's a black man. What were you doing on it? I was carrying their bags. I was carrying their bags. Tell me if it's not true. That's what we are doing. You pay your own lorry fare or your plane ticket to America to go and carry somebody's bag.
Plane ticket. Then I put Kitty will be back to America.
And God is saying, listen, America cannot change you. I am the one who blesses.
I am the one.
You'll be shocked. You can be in a fireman and be prosperous.
You
can be here and your name will be all over the world. Osama bin Laden was living in caves. He was causing harm and terror throughout the whole world. He was in a cave. He wasn't even in the city, in the cave. But his name spread wide. Despite the fight, he wasn't a good name. You can be here and have an effect. So I came to urge all of you, we must all wake up and work for God.
Okay.
Let's all bring our forces together and do something for God. As we
are
here, some of us will die early.
It
looks like people don't like this thing's crowd. But don't you want to go to heaven? If I had 20, let's say I have 200 cities, I said, who likes it? You hear, send me, send me. How many of you like heaven? Then I'm giving you opportunity to take the lead. Why is
it
that everybody is afraid of that? It is because they know from deep down within them that they are not doing what God has them.
So
they are not ready to meet
him.
They know from deep down, even when you are deceiving, you know from deep down that, Tali, what I came to do here, I've not done it.
See,
I thank God for the people who came to church today. We had a full house. When I told you people that this week, we are going to raise funds and raise an offering to build the house of God. The people didn't come out, even more than the people who came. That is how it is. But I'm urging you. You must be different. Let's come together and help God. Let's build the house. This is how we built it. We built it without any labor. Two of us. We built our own house. We built our own on it. Everything you see over here, we did it ourselves. We don't buy things. We have wisdom. God has given us wisdom. We use our strength. Ask them yesterday. When we came from the dome,
if you don't buy,
came back here, we did painting. After that, I joined the Aqua for Rez House. I said, okay, now let's pull this thing down, bring this thing, let's renovate. We did a clean up exercise yesterday. Now you are here, beautiful lady. From Ashiama. Don't mind Morgan. Morgan is my friend.
If you Morgan, I don't mind.
A nice guy, seated, ready for service. Is that not it? And God is saying that if you can serve me, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. This is the time. Let me advise you before I sit down. In conclusion, remember what Bishop told you. In conclusion, then I'll come to finally. Then I'll come to the end. And I'll sit down. So in conclusion, listen to me. Don't go or follow the steps of your parents. For most of us, our parents didn't know the Lord at their tender age. They only realized their mistake and decided to do a youth thing. But for most of them, it was too late. I want a young man or a young woman like myself who can say to his or herself that I am going to give my time to God. I am going to serve God. I am going to love God. I am going to serve Him. I am going to work for Him. And let's see what will become of your life. If you are not 30 years, you are blessed. No, if you are not 30 years, I'm saying you are blessed because if you can invest your time now, by the time you turn 30, you'll be living in your own house, driving your own car, receiving stable income. God pays. Don't be deceived. If you be mom, know how to give good gifts to your children. You, as evil as you are, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more your Father in heaven? How much more? You see, you don't trust Him. You don't trust that God can change things in your life. That's why you are not even helping his work.
It means
we need people to help us buy cement, minus you. We need people to give us money to buy fans, minus you. Your money has something else to do. You are buying plates, you are buying bowls, you are going to marry. I met a young lady. She worked for, I think, 6 years or something. The work you did, where's your wife? Oh, daddy, I was buying plates and I was buying napkins and whatever. I was going to
top plate and napkins.
And I said, why? He said, I wanted to marry.
So not make her worry.
I said, okay. May God bless you in your quest. Then, after a month or two, the guy broke up with her. Yeah, you're thinking about marriage. The guys don't think about you. I'm telling you, guys, all the guys, when they want to marry, they want to look for a good lady in church who loves God. One day, a guy who doesn't go to church, he was offering me there. Me no boss or don't yammy or some yammy born home one day or yammy fear me say, hey. Every guy is looking for, hey, they can sleep with you, go to the club with you, visit the nightclubs, the malls with you. When they want to sit and settle, they want a godly one. Problem was as always. So when they want to choose, they want to come to church. One of the guys told me, Pastor, who will you recommend in the church? Pastor, I want to marry. I want a God-fearing lady. Then I asked him, are you a God-fearing man?
Yes.
So my sister, change your mind, okay? Change it. If you follow the footsteps of your mother, yours will be even worse than your mother. Because we are living in a technological world. Look at your mother, the way she's struggling to take care of you. But when she was young, she wanted to be a nurse. Today, she's more than a housewife. And a lot of us, our parents are doing things they are not. I'm doing mine finally. Our parents are doing things they are not even willing to do. Our parents wish you will not end at where they ended. But one thing they don't know, and so they can't help you, is to tell you that you must love the Lord. A lady in this church, her mother called me and said, Sofo, me bano, me de nacho. That's what the woman told me. Sofo, me bano de fao. Your mother. I'm telling you, every day, you know what I'm saying is true. So for me, but if you were going out, then I would you want to show back. Do you know what she'll say? Hey, me there's a dear man, can I say more? Where is this here? I am bonnet chemso. A man had three sons. A man, that's the end. A man had three sons. These three boys. The first one was a medical doctor.
A medical doctor.
The second one was a lawyer. The third one was a weed smoker. So they all used to attend a church, very popular church. I don't want to even mention. So they went to church. And the doctor, the pastor assigned the doctor to do something. The man said, No. He can't do that.
No,
he's a doctor. He must focus on his work, please. I know he's a doctor. That's why I wanted him to. He said, no. As for my boy, he's busy. He can't. Then he said, what of the lawyer? He said, oh, the
lawyer.
He's also busy. He wouldn't even have time for him. So fine. Everything was done. So the pastor left the man. He never spoke about the issue again. 6 months later, the pastor said, I was in my office when the man came with his weed smoker. I said, oh, pastor, I brought you a gift. And he said, what gift? He said, I brought you my son. Take him. This boy, take him. Let him do whatever you want him to be in the house of God. The pastor said he didn't know he was a weed smoker. He said, okay, thank
I'll
you.
See you.
So he said, one of the days we were having a meeting.
Meeting.
And the boy came. The person was sitting next to him, stole his phone.
And his wallet.
And immediately he did that. He quickly went to the washroom to go and have a sit before. And the ushers chased him and they brought him.
He
said, where is the phone? He said, oh, the chair. So they took the phone and the pastor said, call me his father. When they brought his father, I said, God said I should tell you that thank you, this gift. He doesn't like me, but he said, thank you so much. Take back your gift. He doesn't need this one.
That's
it. He doesn't like it. The bad ones is what you present to God. The best one should work at the bank. Is that not it? The good one should work at the
hotels.
May God bless you. I'm advocating. I'm calling all of you to help. Let us work for God. But remember, your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. Stand to your feet. Let's go. Heavenly Father, I pray for your children. I ask the Lord, you will speak to you make them a blessing to their generation. I ask that even as your children decide to do something for you, with their energy, with their time, with their money, with their resources, I ask that may you bless them and take sicknesses out of them. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. We hope you've been blessed by this message. For further information on Reverend Amos Darko's tapes and books, please send us a mail at rev.amosdarko@gmail.com or call +233 503 861 399. Thank you for your time and God bless you.